to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 145 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. You know, when I walked down in the basement today, I'm like, why does it feel like it's been so long since I've recorded? And then I put two and two together. It's because I've been used to doing two shows here for the last few weeks. I actually went a whole week without sitting in front of a microphone. So it's good to be back down here recording. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I know a good amount of you were at the races this weekend, so I hope you all had safe travels, great time. The weather was great. Not a drop of rain that delayed any of the three races in Bristol. That's not something we always get to say, so that's very cool. I was able to take in the truck race, of course. You guys may have saw the Periscope that I did Friday night from the Berkeley Dream Cruise, which was part of the Woodward Dream Cruise festivities that you heard Jeff and I talk about last week. So the wife and I were out and about the town on Friday, checking out the cars and all that good stuff. But I was able to catch most of the Xfinity race live on Saturday, which was good. Had a family housewarming party on Saturday. But they know if you're inviting me over to a house with a Saturday night truck race or cup race, TV needs to be on the race. So we were able to get that squared away, which was good. And obviously was glued to that TV for the last 100 laps for obvious reasons that we'll get into in a little bit. So needless to say, there is a lot to talk about tonight. We had our first playoff truck race. The Xfinity Series is a winding down and such a heartfelt story in the Cup race. There is so much to talk about. I've got a rant. The professor is calling class into session a little bit later. Maybe not so much of a rant as a ode to Matt D that I have. So lots to talk about. Let's get things going. But before I do, don't forget, the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads Media has you covered from sports to entertainment. So go check out bigheadsmedia.com. How do I almost forget something like this? I have officially booked the trip to Richmond. I am going to my first ever race at Richmond, my first ever cup playoff race. Flights booked, talk to the track, things are good. Cannot wait. It's been awesome. It's felt like all summer I get to say I'm going to the race in a couple weeks, which is just fantastic. So, all right, now we can get things rolling. Big show, of course, lined up for you guys today. Tyler Reddick, fresh off his win this past weekend at Bristol, is going to talk the battle that him, Cole Custer, and Christopher Bell have going on right now in the Xfinity Series. Got you covered for all three series. Social media shout-outs. Yes, a mini silly season is back. We'll get a weather clip here for Road America and Canadian Motorsports Park from Brian Newdorf. It's your lucky dog and lap down picks. And, of course, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get Mr. Tyler Reddick on the line. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his sixth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number two Tame the Beast Chevrolet with RCR, and he is this past weekend's winner of the Food City 300 at Bristol. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Tyler Reddick. Sir, how are you?
Oh, doing great. Just enjoying what we would call, I guess, the Xfinity weekend and weekdays. We're leading into our one of our couple races we have a year where Xfinity's the main show, and less people to have the most fun go out there and put on a good show for fans.
You know, I think that's a cool thing that the NASCAR schedule does, letting you guys kind of have, you know, and with the truck series, you know, kind of give you guys a weekend to yourselves to showcase and maybe get those fans that maybe only want to tune into the Cup race but still want to watch racing a reason to tune in, watch you guys, and maybe some of the casual fans out there get to know some of the Xfinity driver names and truck driver names. I think that's a really cool thing that NASCAR does, especially this close into the off season, or not the off season, the playoffs. I really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. For the fans that don't normally watch, they get a chance to watch, do something we're normally not doing too much of, but we do more. The other two top green series, and that's road course racing. And to go to a very nice place in Road America up in Elkhart Lake in Wisconsin. And it's a very big racetrack. It's a very treacherous racetrack, but it makes for some good TV, and it's a lot of fun to race above all else.
You know, like you said, you know, we don't do it too often, the road course racing, but it's definitely, you know, I remember when I first started becoming a fan of NASCAR, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, it was road courses weren't the excitement from a fan perspective that they are today. Those were almost one of the ones you didn't want to watch, or you'd make some plans and were okay. But now that this is road course racing over the last 5 to 10 years have become much must-watch racing, which is awesome because it is a lot of fun to watch these races.
Well, for sure. I feel like as time's gone on, a lot of these drivers, they're just trying to get through the road course with a smooth and easy day and not lose too many points with the new playoff format and the rewards you get for winning a race. I feel like it's up progression level for the full-time drivers and for the drivers that come in on the one-off races and part-time schedules. They come in just wanting to win, obviously. So I think that's, you know, helped aid the excitement when we go to this style of racing and these kind of tracks. And obviously, as we see with stock cars and vehicles that are not fenders, you lay on each other and you can do the good old bump and run and just rough each other up on restarts, and just makes it really exciting as a driver to race. But I'm sure it's even more exciting for the fan.
Absolutely. So, all right, man, let's talk about this weekend a minute. First off, congrats on the win. It had to feel good to get to victory lane. Did you guys do anything fun to celebrate after the hat pictures and all that good stuff?
Well, you know, our poor teammates at the College Racing, had something go through the radiator on lap 67 or so, or even earlier than that for that regard. And unfortunately, they were waiting for us for most of the night at the airport to go home. So we got right to the airport for them, so we could go back to North Carolina. And from there, it was about 1 o'clock before we finally got home. So a lot of us were really tired. It was a long day. And a lot of us had family and friends on Saturday. So
sure.
I'd say we all had fun on Saturday night. We went to Bowman Gray. That was a lot of fun. But a lot of us were really looking forward to take advantage of our very uncommon 2-day weekend and celebrate Saturday.
So Tyler, talk about the race itself. You guys started at the back. You fell down a lap early. You get back on the lead lap. And not that there's anything wrong with needing things to go your way, because they did. Talk about what was going through your mind early there in stage one and two to where you were at. Is like, oh, wow, we got a shot to go out and win this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We understood at the beginning of the race with feeling pre-qualifying technical inspection 4 times that we weren't going to qualify. NASCAR informed us we would have to start one lap down. Not that we'd start one lap down, actually, but have to do a pass-through penalty. On most racetracks, that's not a massive deal. Some of these tracks are big enough. You can do a pass-through penalty at some point in the run of the race or at your earliest discretion on lap one or lap two and not go down lap. But a place like Bristol, the lap times are very short. Cars are going really fast. So we lost a lap right off the bat, and we got a caution early with a car having a mishap on the back straightaway. And then from there, we were able to work and claw our way back to the front. And by the end of stage one, we were in contention to get the points back that we had lost through our penalty and even get a playoff. If we're just a little too aggressive, spun out, had to go back one more time. And from there, we were a little bit more patient getting back to the front.
When you look at the season that you've had, which has been remarkable from a stats perspective, 17 top fives in 22 races. You know, last time you and I talked was back at MIS in June, where you carried some strong momentum. You won at Dega, third at Dover, won at Charlotte, second at Pocono, won at MIS. Was it frustrating at all knowing that you guys were putting together solid races, but just couldn't seem to get back to victory lane in that stretch there from June to now August?
Well, to be quite honest with you, we had a couple bad races. I feel like after we left Michigan, we went into Iowa and had a had a tire go down very early in our race, and that put us behind. And we unfortunately missed our one opportunity very late to get back on the same lap as leaders and ultimately still get a top five finish. We had a good car, but we had some work to do. So from that point, I think we went to Daytona, and, you know, I feel like we just had some more bad luck. We sat on the pole. We had good speed. I hung myself out pretty early, just not being as fast as I needed to be. And we had an issue late in that race. We had two issues late in that race. We had a tire go down there, and ultimately had another tire go down after contact with the car in the closing laps of that race after, again, kind of getting chucked out. So another bad race, and just, you know, we had two races there that really didn't go the way we needed it to. And it was kind of crazy how fast just two races where, you know, you're leading or running on the top five all day, and then just something kind of happens and it derails you pretty quickly when, you know, as you pointed out, we've been so good the majority of the year and running top five almost every single weekend. So, you know, those two races kind of knocked us back a little bit. We were able to go into Kentucky and have good speed and run a solid third. We were quite a bit behind the both Christopher Bell there. We kind of got back on track. And then from there, I think we've kind of been right back to where we've been all year. We went to Loudoun, ran third there yet again, or fourth. One of those two. I honestly can't remember. And then we went into Iowa, and I really just had to win that race, and just strategy at the end, actually go to steal one away. So ever since those two races, it kind of went off track. We've gotten right back to it, and we've been able to get back to where we have been. And it's really cool to be out of that pump, but it's really easy to get right back. One mistake and make you running top five and put you back in that same position we were right after we left Michigan.
Well, and that's I couldn't believe, like, every week I'm like, Tyler Reddick's going to get back to victory lane. Like, I was picking you for the lap traffic fantasy league there a couple weeks. And, it's a great season. And I could only imagine sometimes the frustration that sets in there and how that can maybe beat yourself up and, you know, be your own worst enemy versus even the other cars on the racetrack or the track itself sometimes might seem like it's your worst enemy.
Yeah, for sure. This month that we're in right now, we knew it would be a great challenge for our team. Starting off with Watkins Glen at the very tail end or beginning of this term. These two road courses that we were going to have and four races were going to be tough. But the first two went really well. But the most challenging one is still yet to come, and that's what's coming up this weekend at Road America. But we've been able to improve a lot just in the two road course races we had. We went from missing the bus stop multiple times and having a lot of issues with the shifting on my behalf to people putting together a solid race and running, fourth in Mid-Ohio. And so that's like going into America, knowing what I've been able to learn over the course of that race and be more consistent. I think it'll be a challenge to win that race for sure. But a lot of strategy comes into place. You have a lot of tire fall out there, and it's all about running your own race and just minimizing mistakes. Let's get our mindset, and, you know, we could do everything right and still run fifth, but we might get lucky, pull the right strategy, and somehow pull off the win. It's a very challenging track, and battling for position can be tough there. So you just never know. You could be running a solid third, fourth place all day, and we're just going to get caught up in an incident amongst themselves, and you could find yourself leading.
You know, one of the things you mentioned there as far as strategy goes with road course racing and all that, you know, I'm a fan of the stage points and the stage breaks and the playoff format and all of that. But one of the things that has kind of come under scrutiny over the last couple of years since this has been introduced to all three series is, you know, one of the fun parts of road course racing was pit strategy. Are you going to try to do it in two stops or three stops? And then if cautions, natural cautions come out, how you work those in. But especially at the road courses, the stage breaks have really kind of taken that game away a little bit. Do you feel like that? Do you like how the breaks are? Would you like to see them change that up a bit at the road courses?
Well, the unfortunate part is that at any racetrack that we go to, whether it's a road course or not, if our pit stops, from the moment you peel off to go on pit road and then from the moment you blow back in and get up to speed, if you can accomplish that faster than what the leader is running for lap time and not lose a lap doing it, you're going to see people do that all the time and try and set themselves up for the next stage or try and maximize stage points for the ones that they're in. I feel like it's not necessarily a road course issue, but it does more than those races due to how much longer the lap time in those places. So this one of the downsides to stage racing is you'll see people mix it up. You'll have the cars that have the stage points or drivers that have won races and sacrifice their stage or the stage victory and that one playoff point to set themselves up for stage two or set themselves up for the end of the race to win. So it's just one thing that's, you know, one of the few cons of stage racing on road courses. But it's just one more thing. And it's a little bit. So if you look at it a positive note, you'll have the cars that, you know, may potentially be a 15th place car stay out on the racetrack and try and win that stage, get those stage points and try and go for that playoff point. So it mixes it up. But to your argument, it does definitely kind of close everyone in a little bit of a box that's trying to win that race.
I'm with you. I see where you're coming with that in terms of not just being a road course issue. Depending on where your wins are and where you're at in the standings, that kind of dictates how you run your race sometimes with how this is in. I feel you. I see where you're coming with that. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, obviously big talk in the Xfinity Series, the big three with you, Custer, and Bell. Up until this past weekend, those solid top fives that you were getting have kept you in the points lead for the potential extra 15 playoff points, which would have kind of just kept you par with everybody else. Now, with this win this past weekend and those potential 15, that's got you tied for first from a reseed standpoint. Is that something you guys as a team look at? You keep an eye on that? Or is it just, you know, helmet on, head down, and go get the checkers?
Yeah, you know, we've tried to keep the regular season championship in mind all year. And, you know, our consistency has really helped make our case for that regular season championship. But at the end of the day, we're talking 15 playoff points versus 12. And at the end of the day, you know, losing three playoff points to gain a potential victory down the road is a risk worth taking. But obviously, you can't win the race if you're wrecked. So we're just trying to play it the best that we can right now. You have to hold back to a degree. And it's good for me to hold back to it around these courses just to make sure I don't make a fatal mistake to take us out of the races. But we'd like to win the regular season championship and get those 15 playoff points. But we realize that our close second and the guy that's really within reach of us right now, Christopher Bell, is going to get 12 or 10 or so, I would imagine, if he finishes second or third. And we can't let him really win any more races than he has because he has such a huge advantage on us over in the stage win column and obviously one more on the race win column. So we got to try and win some more stages. Obviously, I think we've won 4 or 5 and he's won 13, and there's not enough races to get that margin back. But we can obviously try and go out there and win some races and then get a couple by winning the race championship.
I love it. So as we talk about the playoffs, is there a track that you're really excited to go to in the playoffs? Maybe one that you feel you need to get a little redemption on, or a track that you just feel real comfortable that you might be able to go throw another sticker on the car?
Well, you know, one that normally hasn't came to mind for me ever since it's been repaved is Texas Motor Speedway. My last two races there, I finished second in both of those races. In both races, I've given up the lead, I feel like, pretty late in the going. Obviously, everyone remembers the last lap last year. In the playoffs, I gave that win up to Cole Custer and Kyle Busch most recently. Just having a phenomenal pit stop and getting out ahead of me for the restart and controlling the restart and running away with the victory. It comes to mind, too. But, you know, there's some really good races along the way here on the playoffs so we can victory pretty well, obviously, really. If we can get there, I'm very confident at the championship race. But the first round is always challenging. A lot of things can happen. You have, in my mind, three short track races. the Roval is a workhorse, but the base is down. You're boarded or banging off people, and a lot of bumper can be laid to you, so you have to be careful at all three of these. So the first round, you just got to make sure you don't do anything too terribly out of control. You don't want to go into Richmond and fight too hard for a position and get dumped. And it's over. It's very, very tight racing there. Hard enough to lose under one another. And we have the Roval, which is a very unforgiving racetrack.
Well, you mentioned Richmond there, so I will be at Richmond in a couple weeks, and I will make a point to look for you in the garage and say hi, because the last time you and I were at the same race together, we shook hands in victory lane, so maybe I'll bring you a little luck this in a couple weeks at Richmond.
I know, the last time I talked to you up until this point, it went from Michigan down until I won, so
yeah.
Talking to each other more often might help out.
I think that's a good idea. Speaking of social media and all that kind of stuff, Tyler, I want you to tell everyone where they can follow you on social media. But before we get to that, I was on Twitter yesterday looking for a GIF to promote your appearance on the show this week. And, you know, people talk about Googling themselves and all that kind of stuff. But, Tyler, have you ever GIF searched yourself on Twitter? Because you got a strong GIF game going on out there.
Well, I didn't have to. Obviously, I made all those GIFs at RCR. we put a bunch together before the year started. And, I just decided to do a few things that most people would normally be a little bit embarrassed to look on the internet. But I really don't care. It's funny, and it's really well to kind of set the mood for the update that gets given throughout the race, or if you need a funny response to anybody, it's always there. So, yeah, we put those together at the beginning of the year. I think we're actually in the works of getting ready to pump some more out there to everybody before the playoffs start. So be keeping an eye out for those.
I love it. I love it. Tyler, where can everyone follow you on social media?
Honestly, it's pretty easy. You just type my name in. If you see there, check mark next to anything on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, that's just like with me. We have some great fan accounts out there offering updates and posting other stuff. It's pretty obvious to figure out which account mine. These days, just put my name on pretty much all the platforms that I have available to me. So it's pretty easy. Type in Tyler, you should be able to find me pretty fast.
I love it. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Tyler Reddick for coming back on the show tonight. Tyler, it's always great to catch up with you. Good luck this weekend at Road America. Good luck in the playoffs, and see you at Richmond in a couple weeks, man.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Thanks, man. We'll see ya. Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Absolutely love talking to Tyler Reddick. Such a cool dude. So grateful, thankful for the time he's given to the show. 6 appearances between call-ins and at MIS. Absolutely awesome that he called in to talk a little truck, or a little, not truck, we're going to talk trucks here in just a second, a little Xfinity playoffs and about his win this past weekend at Bristol. All right, now let's talk about some of the racing from this past weekend. Start with the trucks, where Ross Chastain picked up the Stage 1 win, Brett Moffitt the Stage 2 win, and the eventual race winner was Mr. Brett Moffitt as well. The first truck playoff race is in the books, and we have our first playoff winner who has advanced, and what a race we had. I think I got to talk about Ross Chastain for a minute here. Back-to-back races now. The 45 has come out strong, dominated the first stage, picked up the stage playoff point win at MIS, and here at Bristol. And it was good to see them shake off their early exit from last weekend at MIS. They had a fast truck last weekend, fast truck this weekend. It was good to see them be able to go and get back in traffic, make their way back up to the front. That team is a team everyone has their eye on for obvious reasons, especially the fact that they were able to rebound from their bad race at MIS to come out, finish third at Bristol. I like that team right now. I really like the 45. Everybody does, right? I mean, it's a great story for the truck series. A lot of drama, heartfelt, feel-good story. But aside from all that, truck's performing very well. So I really like that. Felt bad for Tyler Ankrum. stalled on pit road during the stage break, finished 20th, the worst of the playoff drivers, and he might be in a must-win situation if he's going to advance. And this is one of the things that I really like about the truck format and the truck playoffs. Each race means something. You basically have to go out and have a great race in each of the truck playoff races if you want to advance. The playoff field in the truck series is not oversaturated like it is in the cup playoffs, where you can maybe have a bad race. And if you're in the top, you know, 10 in points, that bad race isn't going to kill you in round one like it will in the truck series. So Tyler Ankrum very well might be in a must-win situation one race into the playoffs there. This race, it gave us everything we expected with a short track, high-banked truck race. Caution's got a little out of control there late in the race. Seemed like everyone was going up the track and into the wall, which surprised me a little bit. Because the compound was on the inside lane, not the outside lane. So I'm making the loose comparison to last week at MIS. Granted, obviously, big difference between a half mile to a 2 mile track, but both tracks are high banked. One's concrete, the other's asphalt. Last week, MIS, the tires, you hit the compound wrong. It sent guys up into the wall. This week, compound on the inside. And we still had guys shooting up the wall in all three series. So it's interesting to see how that stuff makes a big difference on the tracks. The ladies in the race with some struggles. Jenjo Cobb had some issues. Decker had some issues. I'm sure most of you heard the post-race radio communication between her spotter and crew chief, which is, I think, a little bit telling. I'm not going to say she can't go out there and be a good driver. But it would appear to the amateur eye that perhaps maybe she should have spent a tad bit longer time, a couple extra ARCA races, K&N races, gotten a little more seat time, a little more practice, because 14 races, and granted, 14 races is not a long time in the series. It's half a season in your first season, but 8 wrecks. Throughout those 14 truck races, you know, she brings a great following of young female fans, which is awesome. The sport needs it. I'm all about that. But I think this is a prime example of rushing up in the ranks in the series too fast with what we're seeing right now. So hopefully she can pull something together and get things clicking. But not looking good right now as far as things go. We got a lot of cautions late on this one. I think there were 4 or 5 with the last 25 laps or so, which, you get those kind of late race cautions in the truck series always make things interesting, let alone we throw them in on a short track like Bristol. We ended up getting a 3-lap shootout with Moffitt, Chandler Smith, and Ross Chastain, with Moffitt picking up the win, the bonus points, and most importantly, a spot in the next round. Austin Hill backed up his win at MIS with a top 10 this weekend at Bristol. Sauter finished 11th. Ankrum, as I mentioned, finished in 20th. And Enfinger still searching for that first win, but had a solid top 5. Right now, it's Brett Moffitt, Ross Chastain, Stuart Friesen, Grant Enfinger, Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter, Austin Hill, and Tyler Ankrum as far as the standings go. Austin Hill, the first outside the cutoff line for the next round, 3 points back behind Sauter. And Tyler Ankrum in 8th is 13 points back. Still a lot to be decided with 2 races left in round 1 of the playoffs. Race number 2 is this Sunday. That's right. The trucks are racing Sunday afternoon at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. And then they will have a few weeks off before they wrap up round 1 of the playoffs in Las Vegas. All right, let's talk a little Xfinity Series. Brandon Jones picking up the Stage 1 win. Kyle Busch with the Stage 2 win. And race winner, you just heard a little bit ago, Mr. Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick picked up his 4th win on the season. And I think that's pretty cool. Even the score a little bit there with Bell and Reddick. Custer. And Reddick, Custer and Bell. There we go. I could talk tonight. And I think the story of the night for me a little bit was Custer and Bell. They started 4th and 8th. Custer got into the rear of the 5, got loose, hit the wall, came down into the 20, and it was downhill from there. They collected Logano and Jones in the process. These two with the most wins out of contention early, and Reddick took advantage, which is awesome. Everything you're supposed to do. Chase Briscoe had a decent night after he was involved in an early incident, penalties on pit road, and bounced back to a second-place finish. Continuing heat up, to be able to have that kind of a bad night early on and still finish second in the race, I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome that he's got a win along with his teammate Cole Custer. I think that's huge for him as a rookie in a new second full-time team with SHR in the Xfinity Series, that they both have wins and are both going to make the playoffs. John Hunter Nemechek picked up a third after he experienced some tire issues early on. And how about Kyle Busch? You guys are going to like this fact, I promise you. Kyle Busch with a rare two back-to-back bad Xfinity races. Kyle Busch outside the top 20 this past weekend at Bristol and last weekend at Watkins Glen, his last two times he's run the Xfinity Series, right? So here's the fun stat for you. The last time Kyle Busch finished outside the top 20 in back-to-back Xfinity races was in 2016 at these same two tracks, Watkins Glen and Bristol. I thought that was a little interesting tidbit there. And in a night at Bristol where Kyle Busch exited early, Logano had issues, Jones had issues, Custer and Bell had issues, some guys took advantage, like John Hunter Nemechek, who I mentioned finished third. Jeremy Clements finished fourth. Greg Galding sixth. Timmy Hill seventh. I think that's awesome. All that with the exception of Allgaier. And not that he is in a must-win situation to make the playoffs, but he was in a must-win situation because he was in the lead. Needs some playoff points to help advance past the first round. After back-to-back multiple win seasons, Allgaier is one of the Xfinity guys, much like a few of the Cup guys that we would have expected to have had a win by now, and he is still out there searching for the win. So the fact that he kind of had it in his grasp and let it go, I'm sure, is stinging a little bit right now. Over to the standings, Tyler Reddick still in first, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe, Noah Gregson, Michael Annette, Justin Haley, John Hunter Nemechek, Brandon Jones, and Ryan Sieg wrap out the top 12. And while there are four races to go in the Xfinity Series, I think this week's race at Road America is the last chance for anyone outside the top 12 to sneak in and get themselves in the playoffs. If a few of these guys don't get it done this weekend at the road course, I do not see them being able to get it done at the ovals. And the points difference from 13th on back is just too large to overcome. So we really don't have a bubble in the Xfinity Series. No one's really fighting for points. It's fighting for wins to make it in or bust, basically. So we will see what happens this Saturday at Road America. All right, over to the Cup Series. Let's see here. Mr. Kyle Larson picked up a much-needed Stage 1 win. Kurt Busch with the Stage 2 win, and race winner Denny Hamlin. So I want to hit a few points here before I bring class in session here, if you will. At a track dominated by the Busch brothers as of late, that was not the case this past weekend. Kyle Busch with issues in the Xfinity race, did not win a stage in the Cup race, finished fourth. Not bad, right? But at a track we're used to seeing him take a bow, that didn't happen. Kurt, who won here last year and finished second to Kyle in the spring, I really felt like these two were going to go out there and put on a show under the lights. And we just didn't get the Busch brothers show that I thought we might have gotten this past weekend. Clint Bowyer finally putting together a decent race, but still not without some struggles. Nowhere to be found early on in this race, but was able to work his way up to a seventh for a solid top 10. And Erik Jones, who I thought was going to be strong, thought could have gone out and maybe gotten the win at this race. He led for a little bit, made me look smart for a second, but then got into a little bit of trouble, finished 22nd. You know, we only had seven cars on the lead lap, which sort of explains a lot in terms of how things went. Leaders were fast, able to move through traffic, and if you were stuck in traffic, it was hard to move. Short track, and that's what you're going to get. I thought the race was exciting, and this alone tells you the race was exciting. Not that we needed, or I need to tell you. 10 different leaders out of 39 cars. That is a really good percentage. And these weren't lead changes from pitting or strategy. It was these guys went out and led laps and held off the competition. The top six Hamlin, DiBenedetto, Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson all led at least 30 laps or more. And you had Matt D with 93, Brad Keselowski 91, Kyle Larson with 62. It was a competitive, awesome race. Let's see here. What else I got? Hamlin. All right. Here's what I'm going to say about Denny Hamlin. He absolutely needed to pass, and he passed clean. He did what he needed to do. Matt DiBenedetto didn't want a win handed to him by any means. I feel that in my heart of heart. If you've got a fast car and are in position to pass, you have to pass. Denny now didn't help his popularity by passing, you know, issue with Chase a couple years ago, now here with Matt D. But you absolutely go for the win. You know, what he did from a fan perspective, you know, the fans can have the option not to like it. I understand that. But we have to respect that Denny Hamlin had to go for the pass. Otherwise, what are we doing here? You know, it's okay to acknowledge the popularity of things, but popularity doesn't win races. That said, class, get your pens, paper, double space, because here's what I want to talk about a little bit. So obviously, the talk of the week, the weekend, the race, post-race, was about Matt DiBenedetto. We all know and love Matty D. He is one of the most genuine, down-to-earth guys, I think, that's in the garage. This is a guy who didn't even compete in a full season in the Xfinity Series. This is a guy who only has 68 Xfinity Series starts over a six-year period with five different teams. This is a guy with 164 Cup starts over 5 years with three different teams. This is a guy who has had to go out there and drive race cars with a team sometimes of only 10 to 15 guys doing everything from start to finish at the shop and at the track. This is a guy who stops and talks to anyone that comes up to him at the track. This is a guy who looks at the positive of every situation, of every car he has been in, and every time he shows up at the track. Matt DiBenedetto is the guy who smiles through everything that he does at the track. This is a guy whose heart hurt when he climbed out of the car Saturday night. You know, this isn't a Bowman or Larson situation where we joked about them being the bridesmaids as they racked up second place finish after second place finish. This is a guy who fought and raced the race of his life. 164 Cup races, and this was the best race of his Cup career. And put that together on the week that was probably the hardest week of his life, and went out there and put on the performance of his life. His post-race interview, he put his heart on his sleeve. He let NASCAR Nation know his passion, his love, and his need to be in the sport. The unfortunate thing is that Matty D hasn't had the best equipment in his career. You know, he gets the best and the most out of every car he climbs into. And yet again, this season, he was challenged with having to get into a car with yet again another new team, a team that struggled with Cup veteran Casey Kane last year. And Matt stepped up to the challenge. You know, it was a struggle early on, but after 6 years, Matt has started to put together his best string of finishes of his career. Five top tens in the last nine races. Matt D is not just good for NASCAR. He's not just great for NASCAR. Matt D is NASCAR. He's what NASCAR should be and should represent. Matt D needs a ride, and not just any ride. DiBenedetto deserves a quality ride for him to showcase these talents that he has, for the fans to be able to enjoy the success along with him. Matty D, I felt your pain Saturday night. I felt your passion Saturday night. I know you will be in this sport. I know you'll get to celebrate in victory lane one day. Matt, thank you for wearing your heart on your sleeve. Thank you for what you give to this sport. And class dismissed. All right, there's my rant, if you will. All right, let's talk a little standings here. Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, Bowman, Larson, Byron, Almirola, Jones, Newman, Suarez, Bowyer, and Jimmy Johnson. Bowyer, Johnson, 17th, 18th. Bowyer now 3 points out. Johnson now 26 points out with two more to go, with an off week for these guys to hopefully get things together. Next race, time to throw it back. Darlington, Labor Day weekend. Cannot wait for that one. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. While you're there, check out Turn 4 with Intern Teddy. He's got a new article up this week. Make sure you follow on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, subscribe, of course, and leave a review. The giveaway, oh, so close, less than 170 to go. Giving away that MIS Lap Traffic swag giveaway at 4,000 Twitter followers. And speaking of followers, got a bunch of them this week. Christy at ChristyF8815 from Woodstock, Virginia. Big fan of Blaney and Maddie D. Paul Whittington at Paul Whittington, big NASCAR fan. John Madden at JMads13, fellow Michigander. Derek Bean at Run Derek Bean, another Michigander. Joe Root Rush at Schmo84, spotter for late model driver Scott Thompson, also from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Carol Dahlberg at RVN Granny, a grandma and a NASCAR fan. That's awesome. I love that. And Dawn at Track Smack Dawn from Texas and host of Track Smack Radio. Love that. Lady Drifter at Lady Drifter WWE, a NASCAR and WWE fan. And what does WWE stand for? Walk with Elias, Lady Drifter. I see you. And Harris at Harris Lou from Charlotte, a NASCAR graphic designer. That's very cool. He might be someone cool to talk to. Shout out to Toby Christie. Make sure you go check out TobyChristie.com. You'll find the Lap Traffic Podcast there. Don't forget, on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, I got some awesome new merchandise out there, $15 t-shirts. Sent out a bunch of free stickers and koozies this week. If you want one, just fill out the contact page, and I will get that out to you. And of course, one last thing, go check out Big Heads Media. Here's another awesome promo for one of the podcasts you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network.
Hi, everybody. I'm RJ Metzger.
And I'm Rachel Metzger.
And we're the Skeptical Skeptics.
Each week, we talk about all the crazy things in the world, ranging from the paranormal to Bigfoot to UFOs.
And we look at it from the perspective of the believer, the skeptic, and everything in between.
So come check us out on the MSC Podcast Network.
Or go to skepticalskeptics.com and follow us at SkepSkepPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
I might have to go back and check out what they had to say about Bigfoot. That has to be a fun show there. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, business is done. And yes, I teased it at the start of the show. It is officially time to kick off NASCAR silly season. Some may have said it's come too late, but I don't know. Is it too late? I mean, it's haven't even started the Cup playoffs yet. That said, news out of silly season, SHR possibly working with GoFast next year. And here, Lap Traffic Nation, there is talk of a single lug nut on the Gen 7 cars. This is what I have to say to that. Hell no. Do not give me a single lug nut for the Gen 7 car. Why would we do that? Are you kidding me? No. Five lug nuts. You need tire changers to matter. You need the pit stop to matter. Oh, I really hope that's not something that they're really considering doing, because that will legit, that will make me more mad than the fact that we waste caution laps during the stage breaks. You guys know how much that ticks me off. No to the single lug nut on the tire. If we need to start a petition, let me know. I will start it if we need to. No to the single lug nut. All right. That's it. I can't do that too much longer there. I'll have an aneurysm. All right, let's press on. It is time to cue up Mr. Brian Newdorf's weather segment here.
Hey, Lap Traffic Nation, it is meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you as the NASCAR weatherman or at NASCAR underscore WXMAN on Twitter. And you can use the same thing to find me on Facebook. The Monster Energy Cup Series may be taking a break, but overall, we still have racing to take place this weekend with the Xfinity race at Road America, and you can check out the Truck Series in Canada. So, first of all, let's get you through, and what we're going to see, we get you in on Saturday for the Xfinity Series at Road America, and for the road course there, if you're looking for rain tires, you're going to be disappointed once again. Lots of sunshine on Saturday, and we're going to see temperatures in the mid-70s for the Truck Series at the Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Once again, we are going to see nice weather, low 70s, plenty of sunshine, so another nice weekend of racing. Unfortunately, for a road course, for you rain tire fans, you're not going to see it this weekend. Again, you can always check me out on social media. Love doing this each and every week. Brandon, back to you.
Oh, look at that. Mr. Brian Newdorf bringing some good weather these last couple weeks. All right. Lapped Traffic Nation, it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill. Make sure you tweet your picks or call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I will play them back as well. All right, I'm going to get right into my picks. My lucky dog this weekend is, of course, Matt DiBenedetto. How could it not be? My lap down, once again, sticking with the 48. Team's just not showing any, you know, not even, you know, no top fives, no solid top tens on a consistent basis. It's shocking for that out of a seven-time team there. It's just unbelievable. All right, over to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog. Matt D looks strong, lapped down. Harvick, not used to seeing him DAL. Not going to lie. Took me a minute to figure out what DAL means. But I appreciate that. It's funny. The Artful Roger at Aro Joji. Lucky Dog. Matt D. Lap down Newman for being his typical fill in the blank. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mix. Lucky Dog Hamlin had to cover and overcome some obstacles, but got it done. Lap down that Denny got it done. Would have loved to see the burrito get the win. Gina at Gina Loves JJ48's Lucky Dog. Matt D, so much heart, so much dignity. I love this guy. Lap down. I honestly can't think of anything wrong with the racing tonight. Isn't that great when we don't have anything to complain about? Oh, we should look for that more often in life. Braxton at Braxton Crisps, Lucky Dog, Matt D. Lap down, Matt D. Absolute epic drive for him. Absolutely a shame. The late contact got him tight at the end. I'm with you. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, Lucky Dog, Denny, and Matt D gets his and Denny gets his fourth win. Matt D just keeps padding his resume. I like that. Lap down, Denny and Matt D. Hamlin lost fans by passing the 95, and Guido misses a golden opportunity to grab the golden ticket to the playoffs and maybe a top ride. Rowdy Dragon at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky Dog, Matt D. I think we're seeing a trend here. Damn near backing up his words earlier in the week. And lap down, Matty D. Win or lose, doesn't matter anymore. He is typing a new resume. Clayton at Joey Logano Fan 22's Lucky Dog, Matt D. After the week he had, he comes to Bristol showing all the teams what he can do. Hate that he didn't get the win. Lap down, the 48 team still hasn't won a race in over 2 years. Hard to believe a seven-time champ is struggling and could miss the playoffs. I feel you completely. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's Lucky Dog, Matty D. Incredible run. Dude deserves something good down the road. Hopefully next season he puts on one heck of a show. Lap down, Matt Mills. Move out of the way of the leaders or get off the racetrack. I like that. And lastly, but not least, John at Dean Ader's Lucky Dog, Austin Dillon's blood. If he wasn't related to Childress, he'd easily be replaced by Riddick. That is strong there, sir. That is a strong Lucky Dog pick. Lap down after a cool cup race like that. Fans have to wait 2 weeks till Darlington. Hashtag please hold. I'm with you. I am with you. All right. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. Wow. What a great weekend of racing. All three races were so much fun to watch, And I think it's great to be talking about the actual racing all week long instead of midweek penalty announcements and cup drivers stinking up the truck and Xfinity races. I'm really just loving what I've been seeing, and it seems a lot of folks agree from what I see on Twitter and whatnot. My lucky dog this week has to go to DiBurrito. How could it not? He owned Saturday night from his great starting spot to throwing down the gauntlet at driver intros and then backing that up with an unbelievable run and his P2 finish. And then all the way down to the post-race interview. I don't know what people were cooking after the race, but there were a lot of onions being chopped at everyone's houses, it seems. And the best part is that he had a legit great run. There were no raindrops involved. There was no big one that took out 25 cars. There wasn't any of that. And if I'm not mistaken, he was at the top of the leaderboard for Lucky Dog picks for the podcast. And I'm sure his total is going to skyrocket after the numbers are retallied. So good for him. I was just so happy. It was so amazing to watch. It was very cool. And if there was something that I didn't like or someone I felt that needed to be called out, it was overshadowed by all the goodness of the weekend, and I can't even remember what it would have been. So no lapped down pick from me this week. That's all I got for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Kathleen, thank you so much for calling in each and every week. I really appreciate it. A couple great points there. I had some onions going, that's for sure. Matt D was almost at the top, and this week it has put him at the top of the leaderboard of the Lucky Dog picks, which is very cool. I'll have to tweet that out or something here later this week about that. Let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon. John Warrington at Racing _64. Bristol was great. All three races, all three nights were good, competitive, entertaining races to watch. Truck race, Moffitt came through and got the win, so that made me real happy. Xfinity race was bittersweet with Allgaier doing so good and having the troubles there at the end. So as an Allgaier fan, that was pretty heartbreaking there at the end, although it was good to see him running good again. All kinds of chaos in that race, too. You didn't want to be the leader. And the Cup race was just, you know, it's what it was. It was great racing. A lot going on. So one thing I'd like to point out is I really like how NBC, I've noticed the last couple of weeks, when the cars are pulling off the grid, they take a camera and kind of go down the line as they pull away from pit road. That way you get one good chance to see what every car looks like for that week. You know, I obviously do enough research. I know what everybody's running, but to be able to see everybody's paint scheme for the week is really cool. I like that they've been doing that, and I hope they keep doing it. As for lap down, I'm going to say Allgaier. Not getting that monkey off his back and that tire blowing. Oh, it was, like I said earlier, it was heartbreaking. And for Lucky Dog, Matt Benedetto. You could almost say that he's a lap down because he didn't get the win, but as strong as he was in the week that he had, that was awesome seeing him run. I wanted him to win so bad, but it's still a great run for Matt. So Road America this weekend, I believe, for the Xfinity, and that's it. So that's always a fun time. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Hey, John, thanks for calling in. Been a minute since I heard you on the Wave Around Hotline. Always glad to have you. And again, Matt DiBenedetto, just a stellar performance. I get where you're coming from with, you know, he could have potentially been called given the lap down pick there just because he didn't get it done. I understand completely where you're coming with that. Three great races this past weekend at Bristol. Just absolutely fantastic. All right, got one more on the Wave Around Hotline.
What up? Voice of the Wave Around hotline calling in. I think I'm setting a record for earliest hotline call. I know I've got the record for the latest. That was an interesting one a couple months ago. But, you know, Bristol, man, it's... man, I don't know what to say. It was a good race, obviously. And I don't think anyone ever wants to see Denny Hamlin win. And nobody definitely wanted to see Denny Hamlin pass Matt DiBenedetto with, like, five laps to go. So that really... really sucked. That was probably the hardest interview to watch, DiBenedetto's site. Now, probably one of the hardest interviews to watch in maybe all of sports that I've seen in a long time, or at least off the top of my head. I mean, I was actively rooting for Chase not to catch him when Chase was running second. Like, come on, Matt D. So I guess Matt D's my favorite driver now. I don't know. It's hard not to give Matt D your lucky dog, man. That was heartbreaking. I hope the kid lands on a seat somewhere. I know there's really no open seats, but, I mean, maybe he'll go the Alex Bowman route and sit out a year, run a couple of Xfinity races for a big team, and hopefully when some of these big guys start to get out of their seats and after next year, then, you know, we'll see where it goes. Clint Bowyer and Daniel Suarez and Ryan Newman should really be happy that DiBenedetto didn't win, because that really would have shaken up the playoffs even more. So those three are also my lucky dogs. And for the second week in a row, I'm picking low-hanging fruit. But Jimmy Johnson is the lap down, and Denny Hamlin, because nobody wants to see that jerk win. So, you know, it is what it is. We're going into the off weekend now for Cup. Lots of good road course action coming up in the lower series that I'm looking forward to, man, because who doesn't love road courses? Well, more road courses and more short tracks. That's what I'm teaming up for. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Cantian, thank you. As always, the voice of the Wave Around Hotline for closing it out there. You made a really good point that I didn't even think of, and that is how lucky the guys on the bubble were that Matt didn't win. Because like you said, that would have really mess things up for those guys. Those guys are probably banking on getting in and being able to just race on points. If someone outside the top 16 gets a win, man, that's a great call there. I love it. I can't believe I didn't even think of that myself when I was throwing this thing together. So great call there. I love it. All right, that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lapped Down segment. Got one more here for you guys. It's time for some fantasy. Lapped Traffic Nation back again for an eighth week in a row. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Studwell. He is the current leader of the Lapped Traffic Fantasy League, but the lead has been cut slightly this past weekend. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Aaron Studwell. How are you? And happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm doing well. And yes, that lead was cut a bit. Watching all three of the races this past weekend, I'm like, oh no.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, Joey Logano, three laps down. Although he did come back.
Do you want to know how bad of a week you had? I beat you.
Yes, I did look at that too. I did look at that too. And I did say I wouldn't predict how big my lead's going to be because Bristol's so unpredictable.
Yes, yes.
But it is almost unpredictable in a very good way Saturday night.
Absolutely, yes. All right, man. So before we get rolling here, let's highlight. We talked about this a couple weeks ago that we were going to do a college football bonus show this Thursday. We have actually decided to push that back a week due to a potential special guest who will remain nameless for the time being. But I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do this on Thursday, the 29th. Look for a bonus show, a college football kickoff, Big Ten style. We're going to have some fun with that. And just to make matters even more tricky, Aaron and I have a football draft to do while we're going to be talking college football at the same time. So I don't make things easy for us, but nonetheless, that'll be a fun
and
time.
Add in the fact you've got the technology of a three-way call.
Yes, yes, yeah, we're going to have all that going on. Yeah, it'll be good.
I'm excited about it, both the draft and the guest and talking college football for the better part of an hour.
I am very much looking forward to that, sir. All right, let's do a little fantasy here. There are just 3 weeks to go in segment two to get yourself locked in the playoffs. Don't forget to get your picks submitted by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Let's see here. Nobody sweeped the weekend. 10 players, though, however, picked Moffitt. 4 players picked Reddick, and only John Elliott picked Denny Hamlin this past weekend. Week high from this past week was Danny Litwin with 148 points with his picks of Elliott, Riddick, and Chastain. Paul Hollenbeck was second this week with 145 points with his picks of Busch, Allgaier, and Moffitt. And my picks of Grant, Reddick, and Harvick, not so much. Got me a whopping 91 points, but I won the battle with Mr. Aaron Studwell here with his picks of Logano, Bell, and Sauter. That got him a whopping 78 points. That might be a season low for you.
I've had worse weeks, just not in segment two. Like I said, it was a disappointing, easy disappointing week because they all finished in the top 15, I think.
Somewhere around there, maybe, give or take.
Yeah, that's definitely not what definitely not where they needed to be, and definitely shooting for a better week at Road America and Canadian Tire Motorsports Park.
Yes,
in Ontario.
And just to clarify, and Mick's going to put this out in his reminder emails this week, I sent a tweet out for the sake of the name alone and the weekend he had. Matt DiBenedetto is eligible. I repeat, is eligible for the Xfinity Series race this weekend if you want to pick him. He's not inside the top 16. He's not a playoff threat. He's not a Kyle Busch or a Joey Logano or Brad Keselowski going into the Xfinity Series. So if you want to take Matt DiBenedetto this week at Road America, he is eligible. If you've submitted your picks already and you want to make a change, feel free to email those in, and Mick will get that updated for you. But Matt is eligible.
As I reach for my iPad.
All right. Well, see, that's the thing. It's Matt D. It's his first Xfinity race since 2016. So that could be a little bit of a gamble there. But if you want to take the gamble, it is there for the taking. I will read off the top five right now in segment two, still in first place with a shortened lead, Mr. Aaron Studwell with 1,296 points. In second with 1,274 is David James. In third is John Entwistle with 1,267. In fourth is Ted Anderson with 1,263. And wrapping out the top five right now in segment two with 1,262 points is David Mullins. Over to the cumulative standings, where the top 16, when right now 17 with a tie, are going at the moment to make the playoffs. It's not a lock, though. It's not given yet. A few at the top are probably pretty safe. Ted Anderson is in first with 2540. And actually, I'm just going to read off the names here and not bore you with the points. John Entwistle in second. David Mullins in third. Rob Keplinger in fourth. Matt Crowd in fifth. David James sixth. Paul Hollenbeck seventh. Jess Rose eighth. Chad Robb ninth. Aaron Studwell 10th. Brad Kearns 11th. Greg Whited in 12th. Michael Elliott in 13th. Mick Rose in 14th. John King in 15th. And the MOATF podcast in 17th. So the MOATF podcast is the last in with 2311. And right behind them, 1 point off, is Crystal Smoke. Kathleen is only 4 points out in 19th. And Brett Morris is only 11 points out. So 3 weeks to go. It is still anyone's game potentially to still make the playoffs there. So, sir, you're looking pretty good there. All right, man, you ready to make some picks?
I am.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, the Cup guys are off, and it is the Xfinity and Truck Series this week. They each get to be the main feature at their own track. The Xfinity Series Saturday afternoon at Road America and the Truck Series Sunday afternoon from Canadian Motorsports Park. So let's talk a little Xfinity and Truck. The Xfinity Series at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, won Cup race back in 1956. And the Xfinity Series has been there since 2010, where Carl Edwards picked up the win. The last five winners at Road America have all been Chevy. And let's not forget, this is the race where Jeremy Clements raced his way into the playoffs back in 2017. And last year, it was Justin Allgaier for the win. Can he rebound from his slip this past weekend at Bristol and get the job done? The Truck Series is headed to Canadian Motorsports Park, where Justin Haley picked up the win last year. Moffitt finished in the top five. Can he pick up back-to-back wins and steal someone's win into the next round? We will find out this weekend, but first, it is time for our pick. Sir, over to the Truck Series. Who do you got?
Brett Moffitt.
Brett Moffitt. I like that. I haven't seen Grant Enfinger win yet, so I think I know what that means. Mr. Grant Enfinger for the win. Over to the Xfinity Series, sir. Did I tempt you with Matt DiBenedetto?
You did not. And it's nothing against Matty D, the Italian stallion, Guido. That is his middle name. He will point it out, and I will point it out. I don't want to get any don't at me. Justin Allgaier.
Justin Allgaier for the rebound.
Little Gator.
Little Gator.
Little Gator.
I am going to go with a spoiler. I think it would be fun for the series, so I am going with Greg Alding for the win this weekend at Road America.
I like it. I like it a lot.
We'll see what happens. I'm not going to say it anymore. Maybe we'll talk to you next week, sir. I'm sure we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week yourself. Enjoy the birthday celebration, and we'll talk to you soon.
You will. Thank you very much for the birthday wishes, and great show. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later, man.
You will. See Bye. You.
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 145 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Not only did I keep it under 2 hours, I kept it under an hour and a half and an hour and 15. This might be my shortest show in the last 2 months. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you follow. Go tell your friends about the contest giveaway. Huge thanks to Tyler Riddick, Brian Newdorf, and Aaron Studwell. I'll work on somebody for next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya!